All right, good friends, welcome back. Tom Kiley here, INN World Report Radio. Appropriately heroic music for our first-time guest, and I hope that he will be joining us on a more regular basis after this, because I got to tell you, friends, I've been toiling in the alternative media for over 10 years now, and it is changing so rapidly thanks to technology. And more intelligent people around the world are just jumping in and taking advantage. And thank goodness for such people who, at their own sacrifice, at their own cost of time and effort and money, and I'm sure time away from their loved ones and their family and so forth, just can't sleep and have to take advantage of this opportunity to bring you news and information. And there's a lot of new people that are getting involved. Relatively, you know, some have been in there for a while, but it's a great pleasure to connect with one such person. I'm talking about James Corbett from the Corbett Report. You know, I have to do all kinds of research for this program. People tip me off to this and that, and I look at this, and sometimes it ping-pongs, and one show talks about another show, talks about another show or documentary and so forth. That's how I came to know about the great work of our current guest here, James Corbett. And I just wanted to get you all together with him because you're one of the just finest audiences in the world, and he is one of the finest presenters of alternative news and information that I can see coming up on the horizon. So anyhow, I hope I didn't sound too much like a sycophant there, but James Corbett, welcome for the first time and hopefully many more times to INN World Report Radio.
Well, thank you very much for having me on. I only hope I can live up to an introduction like that.
Oh, you kidda. You're such a kidda, you know, say here in Brooklyn, because you know what it takes, James. I know what it takes, and I can see that you know what it takes. And you know what? How long have you been have you been at the alternative media? Let's start with that.
Well, I've been at it for 4 years now, and I guess it was about 5 years ago that I started researching what eventually became my website, The Corbett Report. I just stumbled onto it kind of in a backward sense. I wasn't necessarily seeking this kind of information out. It's a story I've told before to my audience, but I'll tell it to yours since we're meeting for the first time, that I was actually just the most mundane thing that you can think of. I was here in Japan. I'm a Canadian living in Japan, and I've been teaching English for the last several years here. And I just had a mundane experience of moving into a new apartment, and the apartment that I was moving into had an internet connection pre-installed, and it was the first time that I'd had an internet connection in my own apartment for many years, actually. So in the intervening time, there were all these new things that had come up on the internet that I'd never seen before, like YouTube and all of these new video sharing sites and things like that. So it was it didn't strike me as the type of thing that would be sort of life altering, but one thing led to another, and I've always been interested in politics, so I was watching sort of political types of shows and things on YouTube, and coming from a left perspective, I was always into things like The Daily Show and that sort of thing, and back in the Wild West of YouTube, when that sort of thing was widely available on YouTube, I was watching those shows and things like that. And in the related videos, I just kept coming across these crazy 9/11 conspiracy videos, and I kept bumping into them and clicked on a few out of curiosity, and some of them were just absolutely outlandish and ridiculous, but some of them actually raised points that I thought were actually very compelling. And I guess one thing prompts another, and the snowball starts growing, and then it's just an avalanche, and you can't really stop it. So I kind of tumbled into all of this head first, and It started to get to the point where after several months of really researching this and finding, you know, I guess the metaphorical rabbit hole and going down that, and it came to the point where just the discrepancy between what I was seeing reflected in the mainstream media that I'd been consuming my entire life and what I was suddenly discovering online was just, the discrepancy was so great that I had to do something to bridge that gap. And really my initial thought was just to burn CDs of podcasts and things that I found interesting and physically hand them out to my friends. But there came a point where I realized, well, I'd be probably much more effective if I could just start my own website and start to help, you know, syndicate and broadcast and get this message out for myself. So I started doing that, and that was 4 years ago now. And it's been quite an incredible journey so far, and it's already pretty much transformed my entire life. And that introduction you gave was really appropriate in a lot of ways, because certainly this isn't the kind of thing that you can really fake. I mean, you're either into this or you're not, and I'm really 100% committed. And unfortunately, that does mean that sometimes, you know, I don't spend enough time with my wife, and I don't spend enough time talking to my family and things like that. But I do just put 110% into the website, and I take it very seriously. So I've been doing that for 4 years now, and just as a testament to what I do, it's now 8:30 in the morning here in Japan, and I've been up all night. I haven't actually slept because I was working on a video that I'm hoping to put up in the next few hours. So
oh, I was hoping to say because you were so excited about coming on our show.
Well, that too. I can't sleep. I'm so nervous.
I'm trying to add a little entertainment value in there. Listen, a couple of things. I've been holding my tongue here because I wanted to jump in on so many occasions. You touch on so many great points. First, before I do, however, I want to do this over and over and over again because you're talking to just a wonderful, wonderful audience. I call them my good friends. Just about every time I come back to the mic on a break, I refer to our audience that way because they truly are. They are spending their mind time with us. You know, listening, and that's whether you're reading a book or listening to talk radio like this, your mind can be doing lots of other things. But I really appreciate when people spend their mind time, you know, with me and my guests such as yourself. So anyhow, first of all, they're great. And friends, if you haven't seen our guest James Corbett's work yet, then you can trust me, it is great. So he's great, you're great. Maybe I'm doing a good job too. Who knows? But the point is, I'd like to get you all together. Okay. So, James, the first thing we need to do beyond this great introduction is tell them, please, where they go to watch your product.
All right. Well, I guess the best one stop shop for all things Corbett Report is CorbettReport.com. So that's CorbettReport.com, all one word. And that'll get you to my main website where you can find all of the goodies, the videos, the interviews, the articles, and the podcast episodes that I do. And again, there's 4 years worth of archives to go through. So quite hundreds and hundreds and hundreds
and
of hours.
And counting. This is just the beginning, yeah. James. I know what you're going to do. I've been through this evolution. You're going through it, and except for you're doing it in a more rapid fashion. All right, friends, let me tell you something. I have a bunch of hats. A lot of Yankees hats, you know, this and that and the other thing. I go outside, I walk my dog. I don't want the sun in my eyes. I put on a baseball cap. It's not too, like, hip anymore. So I've got, like, these straw hat fedoras that I bought in Sicily, things like that. All right. I will eat them if you go to James Corbett's site and you come back to me and you say, Tom, you gave me a bum steer. Okay, I will be happy on the air. I'll eat each and every one by one. I'll put salt on it, whatever I have to do. This guy's
I'll
a real.
I'll hold you to that. I'll hold you to that.
Okay, it'll be an interesting show, you know. But I tell you, friends, James Corbett is the real deal, and you know, I hope I'm going over the top because A, it's hard to say it any other way, and B, it's a little bit entertaining at the same time. So that's why I put a little shtick in there too sometimes, James. But you know, you got to break it up, right? What can I tell you? So then, let me say a few things. First of all. You're out of the starting gate. You're at it for about 4 years. You know, this whole evolution happens to those. There's lots of people who can be categorized by much of what you said. I woke up. I saw videos. I got crazy. I made copies. I sent to my friends, blah, blah, blah. There, you know, and there's more of those people growing every day. But there are very, very few. It reminds me of Catholic priests. Many are called, but few are chosen, okay? But you've gone beyond. You've actually, in addition to all of that, you've been motivated to get in there, roll up your sleeves, and start to produce. Obviously, not at any financial benefit to you, most likely at a financial detriment to you, but that doesn't make a difference. And thank God, fortunately, you have a family situation where your wife or your family supports you. Why don't you talk about that?
Well, that's right. I mean, if people are into this in order to make money, then I think it's a losing proposition because people can see through that. I mean, people can see if you're just in something for your own monetary gain, and I think they can see through that pretty easily. And I put a lot of faith in my audience, as you obviously put a lot of faith in yours, that that I'm attracting people who are serious about this information and what it really means to be taking this up and spreading it. And I certainly don't want to sound too serious about myself. I don't take myself seriously, but I do take the information extremely seriously because it really is quite overwhelming, the severity, the scope of what we're dealing with. And to think that it falls on amateurs, rank amateurs like myself, to really start disseminating this rather than the people who are, you know, sitting there in the $1 million TV studios with their $2,000 suits and their 50,000 watt smiles trying to basically sell you a pack of lies. And it's,
who don't
it's
even know
worrying.
What the truth is. You know, it's exactly. Not even like they know exactly. What it is and they're trying to hide it. They're so stupid. You know, we say that at INN. Give me 15 minutes, 30 minutes of the budget of World News Tonight, and you could run INN for a year.
Yeah. You know? It's sad, but it's so true, isn't it?
It's sad and it's so true. You know, on INN World Report, I'm proud to say, in the run-up to the Iraq invasion, we told the country the truth. We had Scott Ritter on, and he said, friends, there are no weapons of mass destruction. Scott Ritter was on every cable show that you can imagine over and over and over again between the two Iraq wars when he said Saddam's bad, he won't let us inspect. None of those cable shows let him come on to tell everybody it's a big fat lie. Little old INN did it, you know, and you're doing that kind of work. Anyhow, let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with James Corbett, friends, right after this. CorbettReport.com. Now, if that's not offbeat, ironic, celebratory music, I don't know what is. And it's quite appropriate, actually, because we're having for the first time somebody who I've come to admire, friends. And I'm sure those of you who already are aware of James Corbett, you know what I'm talking about. For those of you who are not, I recommend you expose yourself to him and his work. And I'll eat my hat if you disagree with me and you think he's not the real deal, because he absolutely is. And James, you know, the reason I say that is because I know what it means to, you know, be crazy and, you know, starve yourself and, you know, divert your efforts into this and to research and try to be as accurate as you can and then put it on the air and all that stuff. I know all that. But the way you deliver it, it is so cut and dried. It is so well presented. Not very emotional, very factual, very difficult to dispute, and well-researched, obviously. And then, you know, you use production values that are, you know, let's take the relative value out of it. At least they're production values that people recognize. You know, you're sitting there, you got a suit and tie on, you're in front of a set that looks like almost it could be Fox, you know, a couple of more bucks and it would be totally indistinguishable. And I think that's really great too, because it creates an aperture in people's mind through which they're used to receiving information. Why don't you tell us about that?
Well, I think you're right about that. It's something that I have thought a lot about, and there are obviously many ways to present this information. And I think people who don't do media and don't make videos and things like that maybe have never really had to think about that. But obviously, it makes a huge difference whether you're sitting there in a baseball cap or whether you're sitting there in a suit. And I'm not
necessarily
putting... Or you're
politically correct or something, you know, with puka shells hanging from your ears or a bone through your nose or something.
Right, exactly. I mean, I'm not putting down people who have different ways of presenting this than I do. I'm just, this is my way and this is the way that I'm doing it. And I think you're right. It is something that people recognize. And for better or for worse, you know, a lot of people equate that with authority and things. So if I can use that as a foot in the door to get people to take a look at information that they wouldn't otherwise look at, then that's great. You know, I'll take that any day of the week. Because I am confident that the information itself speaks for itself and it is backed up and people can. One thing that I take pride in in my work is that I always provide transcripts and links and sources to all of the claims that I make in all of my videos and podcasts and everything. So there's nothing that I'm just making up off the top of my head, or nothing that people can't check at least where I'm getting it from and make their own decisions about it. So that's what I attempt to do in my work, and I think absolutely the way it's presented is a huge part in that. And I guess I just had another crash course in that, as if I needed another further, but I just recently put up a video. It's just under 5 minutes, and it's actually a really, you know, slapdash kind of production, just putting up a picture kind of slideshow YouTube video. But it's going viral, and it's gotten over 260,000 views in the last 2 days, because I think people respond to the form. It's just quick and fast paced, and again, it just goes to show there's many, many, many different ways to present the material, but as long as you can get that foot in the door and present people with the real truth, I think people resonate with that, and they understand when they're being told the truth and when they're being sold a pack of lies. And I have faith in the audience, and I don't try to talk down to them or pander to the lowest common denominator. And I think people respond to that.
And I got to tell you, I believe you're spot on. At INN, when we first started, we adopted a similar outlook and approach. You know, greed is not always bad. You know, we know that famous Gecko quote from The Bonfire of the Vanities, was it? Greed is good, you know, all this, or Wall Street, whatever that movie was. I don't think greed is so bad when you're trying to soak up every open mind that you can. And hats off, I think you're doing the right thing. You know, when you have a choice of presentation and you could get 50 more people if you looked so-called, you know, politically correct and were therefore only preaching to the converted, or if you could pick up 100 more people because you're adopting values that the mainstream media and the oligarchy have invested in for decades now, and everybody accepts them and they're used to it. Hats off to you for making that distinction. And that's why I feel, James, that you're up, you're off to big and better, bigger and better things, because you've got that kind of distinction. And you know, I know it probably sounds kind of sappy what I'm saying, but I've been working in this for a long time, and I know how hard it is. And I saw you as the real deal right off the bat. And anything I can do to encourage what you're doing, I'd like to try to do.
Well, anything that I can do to encourage the people who are listening, I'd like to try to do, because one thing I always try to stress is that what I'm doing is really, truly nothing special, and that I'm not trained in any of this. I've really just, I'm an autodidact. I've taught myself all of the different media tools that I'm using and everything, and it's not perfect, but I'm doing the best I can with what I have, which are extremely limited resources. I actually started the website off of this old, clunky, five-year-old laptop that barely ran by the point I was using it for the website, but I, by the seat of my pants, I managed to put it together and put it together, a podcast and videos and interviews and things like that. And the point of that really is just to say that anyone out there listening is a potential person to be able to pick up and start doing this type of work. It's really not that special. And when you get behind the microphone and you're the one who's actually doing it, you start to realize that, it's a great gig in a lot of ways, because all of a sudden you're talking to all of these people that you've only been listening to before, and you're actually part of that conversation. And for me, that's thrilling. I mean, I know there are a lot of people that might be freaked out about that, and maybe that's not the way they can or want to contribute, but I think there's a lot more people in the audience than even they would be aware who could do this and should be doing this, because obviously many hands make light work, and we need more and more people reflecting the real truth, because there are so many people who can be bought off and with some, you know, funny colored paper and can really sell themselves out and to sell the lies to people. But there, I know there are people in the audience right now who are listening who do know, you know, the truthful perspective that you're presenting and can do it for themselves. So that's something I always try to stress. What I'm doing is not special, and basically anyone out there could emulate it quite easily.
And James, you know, there's a flip side to what you just said, which is really, what did the Brits say, gobsmack? I mean, it really is very, very stark, and that is, if like you just said, a relative media nobody in the beginning, like James Corbett, who knew nothing about this, could do such a great job, okay, on a shoestring, on nothing, you know, then it puts the truth to the lie that the corporate media, with its billions of dollars worth of resources, can't do the same thing in spades. You know what I'm saying? It really,
yeah.
our existence, and I think we're having an effect. What do you think? Do you think we are, you know, do you think they're sort of feeling the heat as more and more and more newspapers fall on their swords and go out of business? I like to say on this program, if they printed what you and I talked about, they'd run out of ink first instead of going out of business. What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. I agree 100% with that. And that's exactly what I was talking about before. I mean, people understand, I think instinctively understand and respond to truth. And it takes millions and millions and millions and millions of dollars to sell you a pack of lies and to sugarcoat them and make them taste yummy. But it doesn't take anything to sell the truth. People will just lap it up and ask for seconds. So that's why we are destroying them. And that's why I think the free and open internet is such a vital part of that. I think that's something that's been used to spread so much awareness. And that's obviously the main way in which I'm getting the word out right now. And it is, I mean, I've seen it in the growth of my own website. I've seen the growth in the last 5 years from this type of talk being very fringe and somewhat looked upon with an askance glazed look in people's eyes. And suddenly it's becoming more and more mainstream. And you see that reflected in political discourse, and you see that reflected in the media in lots of different ways. And I think we really are changing the game.
Oh, James, I'm laughing over here. I didn't want to butt in, but I'm going to quote you on that. I'm going to start quoting you, and of course, I'm going to attribute it to you as well. I'm going to give you a visual. I don't know if you're familiar with that that comedy of recent years, Analyze This, where what's his name? It plays a mobster that needs to go to a psychiatrist, Robert De Niro, right here in New York, right, actually downtown. And he looks at his doctor, who is I think Billy Crystal, and he squints one eye and he waves his fingers. You're good. You're good. Okay, I'm going to quote you on that one. That it takes millions and millions of dollars to sugarcoat and sell the lie, and it takes nothing but heart to talk the truth, and people will come back for seconds for the truth instead of getting sick and regurgitating the lie. I think that's brilliant. I'm going to quote you on that.
You are free to use it as you will. It's now off into the ether, and people can spread it like a virus.
There you go. Viral truth, I guess, something like that. So then, there's so much more to talk about. We're coming up on break. We have another half hour, friends, with James Corbett. James, would you like to open up the phone lines and maybe field some calls?
I would love to. Let's do it.
Very good. Friends, if you would like to lay your hands on, and I don't mind using such metaphors sometimes because it's the good fight, okay? It is really the good fight. And I got to tell you, James, you can back me up if I'm wrong. We are not doing this for money, okay? At least not yet. We're doing this because it's the truth and because we believe in you and we know that you're out there. And you can pay us big time just by laying your hands on, calling up. I mean, we'd like you to go to our websites and click the donate button and whatnot. Okay, but if you don't do that, that's all right too. But if, we just need to know that you're out there. So why don't you, after the break, why don't you start calling in 512-646-1984. How many of y'all have heard the Corbett Report and James Corbett? And tell us what you think. And for those of you who haven't, you can call in too. Maybe you can pose a question. In any case, we're coming up on break. James, how's it going so far?
Oh, I think it's going okay. You haven't manhandled me too much yet, so I think I can last another half hour.
I'm giving you you've been due for this. I don't know if you've gotten this treatment yet, and if you haven't, it's a shame because I know it when I see it. It's kind of like, well, I don't want to compare you to pornography, but one of the earliest Supreme Court decisions where the judge said, I can't tell you what it is, but I know it when I see it. I know because I've been in those fields toiling. I know.
Well, I've never been compared to pornography before, but I'll take it as a compliment.
Well, you know what? Hey, a Buddhist monk once told me, when the truth is coming at a lie, it looks like a monster. Okay, maybe it's the same. When the truth is coming at filth, it looks like pornography. Anyway, Tom Kiley, INN World Report Radio. We're here with James Corbett from the Corbett Report. How do they find that again, James?
CorbettReport.com.
CORBETT?
That's it.
.com. All right, James Corbett. And don't leave me hanging, folks. I put the phone number out. The phone lines are going to be open in the next half hour. You can call in and tell James what you think. 512-646-1984. We'll be right back with James Corbett after this INN Top of the Hour news break. Welcome back. Tom Kiley here. INN World Report Radio. Some of that great bumper music. That's Grand Funk Railroad, believe it or not. 1968, maybe. back in the days when people, you know, gave the system a big fat finger. But hopefully that'll come back. Anyway, we're speaking with James Corbett, somebody, well, I don't want to go there, all right, gives the system indigestion. How's that? Okay. In my opinion. and it's getting worse every day. The CorbettReport.com, CORBETT, report.com. Top notch, friends. Top notch. I am so heartened, buoyed, encouraged. In fact, we had the 10th anniversary here at INN Studios in Manhattan. We had a really, really delightful, wonderful presentation this year. Christina Borgeson used to work for CBS News. I've interviewed Christina many times over the years. She's an expert on the corporate media, wrote the book Buzzsaw about how the corporate media is undercut. And lo and behold, in the middle, James, of her presentation to our audience, which will be on DVD coming up shortly, she said, you know, I am so encouraged because there's these young people rising to the occasion in the alternative media. And she mentioned you by name, and she played a clip of one of your reports to the whole crowd. How do you like that?
I'm flattered to hear it because, I've talked to Christina once. I had her on my program, and she's a veteran. She's someone who's stuck to her guns and really done some incredible work. So it's really incredibly flattering to hear that she even mentioned me, let alone played a clip. So I'm excited to see it myself on the DVD.
James, it's well-deserved. You'll see it on the DVD. Keep up the good work. Let's work together. Now, we're going to go to Joe in Texas in just a moment. He's on the line. Friends, you could be next after Joe if you call 512-646-1984. But real briefly, because I want to get to Joe. James, who are your inspirations in the media and or the alternative media? Who do you look toward? Who do you listen to get leads and stuff to start digging in for information?
Excellent question. That's a very, very good question. And in fact, it's kind of interesting. A lot of the people that I first was listening to and got me interested in this information in the first place are people that I'm now in some ways collaborating with. So, for example, there's Richard Andrew Grove over at TragedyAndHope.com. Right. He used to have a podcast, 9/11 Synchronicity, that I think was quite popular. And then he started Tragedy and Hope, and now he has another podcast, Peace Revolution. And in the last couple of years, we've been collaborating, and I'm part of that Tragedy and Hope collective of independent media producers. So it's amazing to be working with someone that I was originally listening to and marveling at, you know, the information he'd compiled. And
if I can butt in for just one second, yeah. I think that's how I first became aware of your work, through his mentioning of you and collaborating with you.
There you go. It's all a virtuous circle, and that just goes to show. I mean, many hands make light work, and it's better when we can combine our forces like that, because it does reach all sorts of people in ways that we'd never expect as it ping-pongs around.
Oh, it's snowballing. Let me tell you, it's really picking up. But who else, if I may ask?
Sybelle Edmonds, the FBI translator whistleblower, who's started her own website. So she had a different website before. Now she's at BoilingFrogsPost.com, and she's building that up. And I'm a contributing video producer for that, so I'm producing one video a week, and it's amazing to be working again with someone who I've been watching for years, documentaries about her and her struggle to try to, you know, get ungagged from the state secret privilege, which has been invoked against her to stop her from telling the story of what she actually knows and what happened to her when she was an FBI translator. So again, to be working with someone like that is just such an honor, and again, it's not a responsibility I take lightly. It's something I take very seriously.
Very good. Top-notch person. We had her on INN World Report on our live national television show way back when, and she's been so busy, it's hard to get a hold of her sometimes, but another person, stellar, really, standing up for the truth at her own detriment, no question.
Absolutely, and she's doing incredible work now. I hope people are checking Boiling Frogs Post, because every single day updated with new articles and videos and podcasts and all sorts of stuff, just great information there.
Let me throw some names out. Alan Watt.
I listened to him for years. I've tried to have him on the show since I started the show 4 years ago, but he still has yet to actually come on. He keeps saying he will someday, but it's
same
not
here.
Today,
thanks for the good thoughts, you know, and all that stuff. But really busy, me and Hamish. But an inspiration for sure. No,
yeah, absolutely. Certainly formative in a lot of the things that I talk about, and a lot of my understanding of the eugenics agenda came from a lot of the books that he cited. So I'm very much indebted to him for that. Yeah.
Alex Jones, who may even be listening tonight out in Austin. And if you are, Alex, how you doing? Haven't called into the show for a while, but we would love to hear from you.
Sure, Alex, give us a call. Yeah, no, Alex Jones, absolutely one of my key formative influences, and not really the first person I was listening to when I first started to wake up to this information, but someone that I obviously discovered quite quickly, because it's pretty much impossible to avoid him when you're in this subject matter. And absolutely, I've gotten so much incredible information from his radio show and his documentaries over the years, and especially Endgame is just one of the best documentaries I think I've ever seen. It's just incredibly powerful information. I think a lot of what I do comes back to the eugenics agenda, so I'm very much interested in that, and Endgame was really what started me along that path and opened me up to that that whole field of research. So,
and young Mr. Grove has done a great deal. Aaron Franz as well from California.
Absolutely. Doing incredible work, yeah, on transhumanism, which again
is something that's going to break. That issue is going to break. I'm pushing it too, and we should get our heads together and put an effort together on that. But kudos to everybody involved. Let's go now to Joe in Texas, who's been hanging on the line. Thank you, Joe, for your patience. But before we do that, friends, nobody else is on the line after Joe. So if you pick up the phone and dial 512-646, wham, you can slip right in after Joe. Let's go now to Joe. Joe, thanks so much for holding on. How are you tonight?
I'm fine, thank you. Salutations, gentlemen. How are y'all?
I'm doing all right, thank you.
I'm handy and damn nice, as Grandma used to say.
Okay, good, yeah.
What would you like to talk about, Joe?
Ask was in all of the issues that I think about, to my mind, monetary policy becomes the most important issue that we have been facing since we were conceived as a nation, and that under Article 1, Section 8 of our Constitution, it states that that those powers belong to Congress. So we run into that right being given and absconded by a group of folks and given to the Federal Reserve. And so now my question, and what I would like you guys to ponder, if possible, is the monetary policy. And is it not the key issue culturally, globally, politically, for the United States of America at this point, seeing that because of all the printing of the money and the quantitative this and that, that the system of the fractional reserve banking has basically run its course.
Very, very good. I think I got the gist. Let's see what our guest James Corbett has to say, and then Joe, I'll give you my idea. But let's go first to our guest James Corbett. What say you, James?
Well, Joe, I think you're absolutely right that it is such a central issue, and that in fact that's really the issue that really got me into this fundamentally in the first place. I was drawn in by 9/11 truth and things that I'd seen propounded in that regard, but I still, even after I was fairly well convinced that there was much more going on 9/11 than we'd been told, I still couldn't quite bring myself to believe that such a thing would be possible, or that they'd even be able to pull off something like that, until I started. I watched the Money Masters, which was one of the seminal key documentaries that really exposed to me what the Federal Reserve is and how it acts and where it came from. And when you start to understand that the history of the United States has really been a history of a people fighting against the centralization of power in a central bank, and when you see that struggle playing out for century after century, and then suddenly the issue just completely dying away politically after 1913 with the founding of the Federal Reserve, I think there's no doubt whatsoever that that monetary policy is at the very heart of the system. And it just goes to, I mean, it just makes perfect sense that when you're trying to control a society, if you can control the means of exchange, the medium of exchange, then you can control that society from the ground up. And as well, a famous Rothschild has been quoted as saying, whether it's a spurious quote or not, it's certainly true that, I care not who's in charge of a country as long as I have the power to write the make its paper or make its money, then I care not who writes its laws. And that's so true, because if a congressman can be bought and paid for by money that's created out of thin air by the people who own the central banks, then there's no way you're going to be able to win that game politically. So I agree completely. Monetary reform is absolutely a central key issue. And in terms of what monetary reform, that's a whole other question, but go ahead.
It's magic, right? I disagree with you and Joe slightly. You know, I do agree that is a sort of a core central issue. But, you know, if I'm a thief and I'm getting away with murder, and I say to myself, gee, you know, sooner or later, you know, somebody's going to get wise to my crime here. Let me obfuscate it. Let me cover it up. And I think the false right-left paradigm is a layer on top of that which our caller Joe speaks, and you too, James, speak, that you can't get to the monetary problem if you can't break through the false right-left paradigm. That's a cover to keep everybody so busy at each other's throats. I can't talk to you. You're a liberal. I can't talk to you. You're in favor of abortion, you know. That sort of thing. As long as we allow ourselves to be frittered away and our energy to be frittered away and divided that way, we're never going to get to what I think our caller Joe makes as a very, very valid place. But you're not going to get there if you can't stop the fighting and unite and say, okay, and I believe they're more scared of that than anything else. What do you think?
I don't think I disagree with that assessment, really. I think absolutely that the left-right paradigm is something that's been grafted on specifically as a way to get people fighting over issues of no significance. And I think that's a key part of the way that the political paradigm is controlled. But I think that still the underlying issue that we need to be addressing is the monetary reform. But the political paradigm is like that veil that they put over it so we don't see the wizard behind the curtain. But the wizard is what's important. The person who's standing there, you know.
Well, I think you're right. The key concept is underlying. And usually you can't get through underlying unless you drill. And you got to drill through that stupid false left, right left paradigm first. If you don't do that, forget about it. All the underlying issues, I think, are going to keep going. Joe, you're welcome to hang on and comment on what our guest and I just said. And anybody else who'd like to call in, that's fine too. There's nobody else on the line. 512-646-1985. All right, good friends, welcome back. I can't tell you, friends, I'm so thrilled, because there's nothing like putting a couple of good, great friends together who are like-minded and who didn't know about each other before. And that's what I've got one arm around y'all, the audience. You know, that's just wonderful. INN World Report listening audience, the Rule of Law Radio listening audience. I got another arm around our guest, James Corbett. And I'm saying, hey, guys, you guys need to know about each other, because he does great work. And I'm telling you right now, the battle for an altered future, a cleaner future, a better future than the one that has been planned for us by the big boys, as Alan Watt likes to call them, can change if we continue to make such associations and connections. We're going to continue with James in just a moment. Let's go. But you can call 512-646-1984. Joe is still on the line. We're going to finish up with him right now. But you can be the very next caller if you would like. All you have to do is pick up your phone, 512-646-1984. Joe, what did you think of our guest James's response and my response to your point?
I think it emphasizes the fact that when you've got five different issues, you've got to pick one, and everybody needs to pick one that's most important, and it's got to be something that everybody can come together on, and you've got to push it until it happens. When everything is subdivided into different groups concerned about this or that or this or that, really that's you're falling into the trap.
So I think it sounds like you're making my point. I agree with you that the money in the Fed is a fundamental bedrock issue, but we're never going to be able to break that if further upstream we're already divided and dissipated in this bogus right-left stuff, right?
No, I disagree. I think that everybody can come together on the U.S. Constitution, more or less, on the fact that our monetary policy is a debt based fiat currency, and that we need to do like Abraham Lincoln did when he told the Bank of London, no, I don't want your money. I'm going to print my own under Article 1, Section 8. And that's that. And then if internationally and globally, we back it up with our military. We are an empire. We can, everything we have here, we have gotten through force, period. Your middle class.
That's how the country was born, wasn't it?
Through force. Your way of life was gotten through force. Now, it has been stolen from us little by
another force.
As we go. And let's face it, we are an empire that is based on the gun, period. We always have been. And we've all got to face that. Y'all are talking about history, and, I mean, gosh, just read any history of anything. You start with the Bible. It all goes the same way, and we are the most powerful military on planet Earth, and we have been for a long time.
Well, you might have to define we, because I'm a Canadian in Japan, so I don't know, does that include me or not?
Well, I, you know, and Joe, I'm gonna thank you. I think you've given us plenty of grist for the mill. Let's try to digest this a little bit, because we only have a few minutes left now with our guests. But, yeah, okay, all that aside, no question, this country, the United States, and to an extent, Canada, too, right? The battle on the Plains of Abraham, right?
That's absolutely, a famous yeah. Yeah, no, that's right. Well, it does present an interesting point, because certainly the use of force is what has been the driving and dominant force behind much of our history for much of humanity's time on this planet. But I don't know if that's the way I want to see us perpetuating forward as a solution for what's going on. Certainly the point is well taken, but I don't think that backing it up with military forces is really the point. I think the point is if you look at what the founding fathers were really talking about, it was to have good relations with all of the world, but entangling alliances with none.
We should have no special allies and no special enemies. Remember that one, I think, from George Washington?
Sounds about right. Certainly that was the gist, if it wasn't the exact quote. But yeah, no, and I think that to me is the point. And Again, I don't know if I'm not a card-carrying member of any political party or organization or affiliation, but certainly I like the idea, the libertarian concept of the non-initiation of force, that is always wrong to initiate force against another person or another entity. And I don't think that trying to fight this violence that's been foisted upon us with violence is going to get us anywhere.
Oh my God, if everybody adopted that, how would... How would the big boys prosper, you know, if there was no more force and nobody would...
Yeah, imagine that. Like, how could they profit on the blood of innocent people going off to fight their wars for them? Yeah,
you know, I can share with you, James, in addition to you being mentioned at our great conference here in New York City on Sunday, and maybe we can have you come next time. I'll work on that if you would so like. But Ray McGovern finished off the conference, and, you know, Ray's been a guest on this show many times, and, you know, Ray comes from an interesting place. He was a former analyst at the CIA on the Russia side, speaks Russian very fluently, and, you know, we were a little bit concerned, because Ray, you know, he buys into our program a lot, but he doesn't totally buy into it on an issue-by-issue basis. And I got to say, Ray finished off the conference in grand, grand style. And I'll summarize. You know, he said a lot of things, but basically he said, you know, this country, the original sin of the United States was racism. And I thought that was very, very powerful and very, very poignant, you know, that that's how it started. Now, I wasn't there. You weren't there. To an extent, certainly it continues to exist, but, you know, we have to deal with what there is now, you know, and that sort of thing, and go forward. And at least we can try to prevent that or kill that policy. But you know what? I always tell people, if I'm going to have these phony patriots in my face telling me how great this country was because of all these positive things that were there in the beginning of it, then my answer is, well, then how can you ignore all of the negative things that were there in the beginning? If you're telling me that we are still, the positive things are still resonating in this country, and freedom and liberty and all that, then I submit to you that the negative things are still resonating in this country as well. What do you think?
I think you're right. I think ultimately this struggle that we're engaged in isn't just a struggle between us and, you know, the Rockefellers or whatever oligarchs are out there, you know, puppeteering things. I think this is at least as much a struggle within ourselves and warring against our own nature. And I think it's always a question of what kind of person is going to come out on the other side of that struggle. And I ultimately have faith that that humanity will win and that we will prosper and that we will, you know, sort out these problems. And ultimately on the other side, what will emerge will be a humanity that's so much greater than what we can imagine today. And if I didn't believe that, I wouldn't be here talking to you right now. I'd probably be curled up in a ball in a fetal position, you know, sucking my thumb. So we are going to win this and we are going to take it back, and it's not going to be easy, and it's going to be a lifelong process. And I don't think that is necessarily ever going to stop. I don't think there's ever going to be some defining battle where we're all going to, you know, be against the bad guys and the good guys will win and then it will be over forever. I think this is a struggle that every generation has to face and play out in its own way. And that's exactly what we're doing, and we'll have to continue doing it while we can.
Well, from your lips to God's ears, and I think you're spot on, and it is so encouraging as somebody who's been toiling in the alternative media for almost 11 years now to see fine, bright people like you coming up and stepping up to the plate and continuing the tradition. We only have about a minute and a half left. James, what do you want to say in that time? What are you working on right now?
What am I working on? All sorts of different things, so many different threads and tangents, but obviously I've just done a lot of coverage over the past month of the 9/11 10th anniversary. So now that I'm putting that behind me, I'm starting to focus on some other things right now. As I said, I was working on a video all night last night of an interview that I just did with Mahdi Nazim-Roya, who is a research associate with the Center for Research on Globalization, who spent the last 2 months in Tripoli in Libya, reporting from Libya about what's going on there and what's they're not reporting in the mainstream media about what's been going on there. So that's a really fascinating interview. And I'm working on the Palestinian Authority going for UN membership this month. That's going to be a huge issue, especially with all of the various disturbances playing out in Israel right now, with the Turkish the ambassador being kicked out of Turkey, and Cairo also showing signs of resistance to Israel for the first time in a long time because their buddy Mubarak is out of power. So that's a huge thing that's going on. I'm also looking at Fukushima, of course, here in Japan, the big nuclear disaster still ongoing, still not being covered really in the media to speak of. So it's really hard to find sources and of information on it that are reliable, but I'm going to do my best to keep trying to cover that issue. So many balls in the air, I don't even know where to, you know, start enumerating them, but I'll keep juggling as long as I can.
Well, you know, I think we shot down a bunch of those balls tonight, but there's still a few more. So let's say that we have you back on in the not too distant future to finish up. And then I'd just love to have you on from time to time when you you know what? You're one of these people. You do such a great job. I don't have to focus on something. I just look at your report.
Let's do it anytime you want.